We're running a little late here. In attendance, we have Councilman Smiley, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Co-Chair Tackett, Councilman Bell, he's in the room, Councilman Cartier, Council President Kovac, Councilman Weiner just walked in, my aide Chrissy Roberts, and I'm Joe Retta. What's your pleasure on the minutes?
Motion to approve is distributed.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, I'd like to jump and go out of order of business, if it's okay with the body. We have Resolution 12-122. It's Councilman Sheldon and Councilman Towers. We moved up on top.
Yes.
For the sake of time. Is that all right with the body?
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm just going to give this right over to Special Services. I know we have time, but it's basically a combination to go into easements because we need, as storm water is always a problem as far as streams and fixing them and so forth, we have to do certain temporary construction easements to get in and out. And yes, there will be a payment to the landowners who's agreed to do this. So without any further delay, I'll let the, I guess, the attorney take from here.
Dockery Special Services. Special Services is seeking to institute condemnation proceedings in order to obtain three easements, four easements on three properties that are owned by Mr. Donald Telecom. And this is going to be needed for the Little Mill Flood Control Project. And that is a joint effort between the county, FENREC, the Army Corps of Engineers, and the Conservation District in order to abate a flood control problem in the vicinity of Maryland Avenue. And I'm just going to give you a brief background on the properties and then turn it over to the project manager, Tony Schiavi, to give you some full details on the project itself. There are three properties involved, 80, 82, and 84 Germay Drive. They are owned by Mr. Donald Telecom. They are zoned industrial and they are unimproved lots. They are in the floodplain, and the county has obtained an independent appraisal on each of the properties. Specifically for 80 Germay Drive, we're seeking to obtain one permanent drainage easement and one temporary construction easement. On 82 Germay Drive, we're seeking to obtain one temporary construction easement, and on 84 Germay Drive, we're seeking to obtain one temporary construction easement. We've offered the fair market value of the appraisal to the property owner, but he has represented to us that he's not as interested in the monetary compensation as in getting some sort of non-monetary compensation. Specifically, he has represented that he bought these three parcels not knowing they were in the floodplain, so he's been unable to build on them, and he'd like us to somehow obtain a variance from land use, which I can't do. Or alternatively, as part of this project, have the Army Corps fill in his property. But I, you know, again, I cannot do that. So, needless to say, negotiations have broken down. Pursuant to 9 Delaware Code 1525, I'm asking County Council's approval to move forward with condemnation. And that section of the code allows the county to institute condemnations in order to widen any creek in the county. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Tony to give you a little more background.
Go ahead. Before we get started, I'd like to say Councilman Hollins has joined us.
Thank you.
And Councilman Powers. And I forgot to mention that Councilman Street will not be attending. All yours, Tony.
Hopefully everybody can see that screen up there. If you can't, we have a paper copy over here that can take a look at. Basically, this is the project. It's called the Little Mill Creek Flood Control Project, Phase 2. Sometimes it's referred to the Lower Reach. It's the second phase of a process that really started in 1989 when several apartments in Ellesmere got flooded out during that 100-year flood we had. It was July 5th, 1989, to be exact. And then on July 17th, 1989, we got a knockout punch again with another 100-year flood. So it's been a long process. The first phase was done. It was a joint effort between DENREC, the Conservation District, Newcastle County, and the Army Corps of Engineers. And similarly, this phase here is a joint venture as well. The it actually falls under what the Corps calls a 205 project, where the federal government pays for approximately 65% of the cost, and the local sponsors make up the remainder, 35%. If you want to know where the project is, you can see right here, this is Maryland Avenue, that route, that's four symbol there. And if you want to know where the project is, everybody's familiar with Browntown. If you're in Browntown and you're driving towards Five Points, you'll go past Johnny's Market and Chipside, and you'll go over that raising grade and you'll fall down. You'll have Candy Park and a Dunkin' Donuts to your right. To your left is Little Mill. It's sandwiched between Brookside Drive and Jermay Drive. You have the car wash there. You had the supermarket there at one time. It was a furniture store. But Little Mill's in between them. And if you look at the blue, that's basically what the size of the channel is now, from top of bank to top of bank. And what the Corps is proposing is they're going to widen this area here upstream near Maryland Avenue to get rid of a bottleneck, to help that water go down better and keep these properties in this vicinity to flood. Now, to do that, the water's going to move more efficiently down here, and you can see they're widening the channel in this area to provide storage to keep these properties from flooding, to help them drain better. The ending point here is a culvert. That's the Amtrak right away. We can't do anything with the culvert there. We're dealing with Amtrak, and they're a pretty tough agency to deal with, and funds are limited for this project. The three parcels that we're looking to condemn are highlighted in yellow here. I believe it's 80, 82, and 84 Jermay Drive. The project is going to require widening of the channel, a lot of excavation, a lot of stabilization with stone, and hopefully the flooding situation there will improve. That's pretty much it.
Any questions from council? Councilor Weiner, Councilor Smiley.
Yes, is there any condemnation for the other areas in red?
We are currently negotiating with property owners, and there could be a couple more, but it's too early for us to tell.
Okay, in other words, you've communicated with the landowners, and they're considering the county's offer for a buyout.
That's correct.
At fair market value.
They're considering the county's offer to...
But the county's appraised...
Yeah, using their land for a drainage easement, both temporary and permanent.
Okay, and the three parcels that are in contention, it doesn't look like the top one is really impacting this whole project, and maybe the center one just sort of touches it. Why is it necessary to condemn all three? Maybe I just can't see the details of it.
Well, what you're seeing here is the top of bank here. And there's an access. The Corps of Engineers, who designed the project, figured out what their right-of-way requirements are. And it's tough to see on this drawing, but there's an access easement proposed right along this side.
For maintenance purposes?
For both maintenance and for both long-term maintenance and the proposed channel improvements.
And why is it necessary to condemn the entire 100% of those three parcels if you just need a maintenance easement just to carve out some additional flowage or spillage?
Yeah, we do, because this is, again, this picture is it's limited on what our AutoCAD capabilities are.
Right.
But this yellow line should extend all the way down to this point here.
Do the parcels become unusable commercially with what's left over? I think I'll look more to the attorney here.
Marianne Doherty, Special Services. We're not actually condemning the whole parcel. We're only condemning part for an easement. It looks like he's highlighted the whole areas, but there's three parcels. One is going to have a permanent drainage easement, and the other three easements are just temporary construction easements. There's nothing on there right now. It's in a floodplain, so Mr. Pelicone is having problems. I don't believe that he can construct anything on there right now. So, and I don't know, Tony, do you have any pictures of the... If you want to see some pictures of the parcel from the street, we can show it to you, if that would be helpful.
Yes.
And these are the plats. I have copies of the plats, too, if you'd like me to hand them out. That would be helpful, too.
Well, would for me. I don't want to speak for everybody.
And these plats show you the temporary and permanent easements and whereabouts on the property that are going to be taken out. This picture here is 80 Germay Drive. Right now it's being used for vehicle trailer storage. This is 82, which is the next one farther in towards the Amtrak, right or left. Same thing, we got a boat there. And this is the furthermost parcel, number 84, Germany Drive. And just below that, just beyond that pickup truck there, at the very end, there's a drop-off. And there's an area of wetlands back there, too, along the street.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah. I don't mean to tell you something that you already know, but I'm going to do it anyway just so I'll have a comfort level when he sues us. And that is, I hope that during this process we will you have something else. Make sure we document what the land looks like, because I'm sure the issue is going to be what it looks like when we're done.
Right.
And that will be the basis for his commanders again. So we just make sure we document the steps as we move forward.
Right.
I would appreciate that.
Councilman Powers?
Yeah. Can you go back to your picture?
To the first one?
Yeah. I got a couple questions. One, the first one would be, what's the size of the pipe at the railroad? And how's it sized for what the flow is?
This.
Is it undersized or?
It's fixed. I mean, we can't widen it.
Yeah, but I'm just... Is it an old stone?
I think it is an old stone. And
I mean, it's like, that's what most of it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of those were oversized at one time and got probably a lot of flow.
Right.
I got three questions. One, you come up here and you're winding up here. There must be a pretty good depth to be able to let the water down through there without widening the whole channel.
Yeah. And that's a good point. From this point to this point, you do have a slope in that channel. But from this point to this point, you have poor channel grades. And we do have a profile. And you can see that second section where they were going to widen it, this black line here is the proposed channel bottom. But this red line here is what you have now.
Yeah.
So all of that material is going to be taken out of there.
Now, was a lot of that fill? Did they narrow that channel?
I think the channel was relocated, probably.
I mean, it just, dropping off like that.
Yeah, I'm not too sure of the history, but that channel did have a different alignment. It was more of a meander.
It's like with this. I would have liked to have seen the elevations, you know. But, I mean, you can see it on the... You know, really what you got to do is you got to build a lot of storage if you got a pipe on that side.
Yeah, if the railroad culvert is fixed, you got to make up for it in storage. They couldn't eliminate this bottleneck unless they created a lot of storage there.
Yeah.
You can't do that, because if they just fixed this bottleneck,
it would flood down there.
The properties down there would be made worse.
Right. So that's why you need that on the floor.
Councilor Cartier.
Yes. I'm familiar with us doing a condemnation for sewer easement. I can't recall, since I've been on council, where we've done one for a drainage easement. And that's within our legal authority to do that, is that correct?
Yes. Engineering and Boundary Special Services. Yeah, under 9 Delaware Code 15, Section 1525, we have the authority.
Okay. So what with this action, what we're proposing to do, I need to be absolutely clear about what we're doing. I understand sewer easements. We've got a drainage problem here. We're proposing to get an easement for both construction of to increase the capacity of the stream and to maintain that. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. We're getting a permanent drainage easement, which will, you know, require us to, you know, to dig out and create storage area at that spot if we need it, and to come in and maintain it, and then temporary construction easements to allow the project, you know, to proceed.
You're going to turn these three lots into storage? Is that what you're proposing to do?
Tony, maybe you want to...
Just the bottom portion.
We're acquiring easements to enable the channel widening.
Okay.
But we're not rendering the parcels useless by doing that. We're only taking...
They're already useless.
We're only taking this one here. This is just a temporary construction easement for... this is lot 52, which is property 82. This area here is a proposed temporary construction easement. After 3 years, it disappears. It no longer exists. This here is an existing easement that was established by the record plan back in, I think, the 70s. And this one here also, this hatched line here, this is an existing easement that exists today. We don't have to purchase it or anything. We have the right to go in there and do a drainage improvement project. It's this additional one here. It's labeled as a proposed temporary construction easement. That's going to enable the construction of the project, and it's going to disappear after 3 years. And
Art,
this one's different than the other two in that it has a permanent easement. The permanent easement's going to remain, obviously, permanently. And that's going to help us to not only construct and widen the channel, but to maintain it.
Follow up. So what percentage of these lots is going to be permanently used for increasing the storage capacity of the stream? Each lot's going to give up a portion of its area for that?
Well, there's 45 lots. And what we found was there was 28 of them that we needed additional permanent easement or temporary construction easement. So there may be some lots in there that we don't need. I can't give you the exact number, but if you look in this area here, there's really very little or no activity being done there. So they're really not affected by it. But all these lots down here, we're pretty much going to need either a temporary or permanent easement, and that goes for these up in this vicinity.
But going back to my question, percentages of these lots, of the area of these lots, will be used for basically increasing the capacity of the stream? You're going to be permanently reserved for that?
The three lots.
Of the three?
Of the three lots, only one is, we're proposing an additional permanent easement.
Okay.
And that one is...
I see that. Okay.
That is, I think it's lot 50, that would be 80 Jeremy Drive.
What is the total acreage involved on these three lots?
Total acreage, that's on the plat.
Right.
For 80 Jeremy Drive, for the permanent drainage easement, that's 2,657 square feet, the permanent drainage easement. Everything else is...
I'm just asking what the total amount of acreage on these lots is.
Total, for 80 Jeremy Drive, the total acreage is 0.71 acres or 30,928 square feet. And then for 82 Jeremy Drive, it's 0.64 acres, which is 27,878 square feet. 84 Jeremy Drive, it's 0.65 acres, which is 28,314 square feet.
Council President.
Thank you. We, just for my information, we made an offer the of the, at the fair market value for these easements. Does that offer decrease after we have to condemn? I mean, what's the compensation due after condemnation? Is that the same level that we were going to pay, or?
Well, it's the sales comparison approach. We have an independent appraiser come out and do that. So he looks at all the proper, like four or five comparable sales, and bases it on, you know, the subject property, which would be 80 or 82 or 84, and then modifies, you know, looks at the other properties and the factors such as location, size of the lot, and then he'll assess the assign a value to that, and that's how he comes up with the value for the subject property.
That, my question was, does that value change? You know, we made an offer at fair, I guess at fair market price. If we go through this condemnation action, are we still then going to pay at the, that same fair market value?
Yes, okay. We'll offer him the fair market value of the easement now, and you know that's what we would represent to the court as the fair market value. That's what we would deposit with the proprietary as fair market value, and if you know it goes through the court process, and I would think they would go with the appraised value.
Okay. No, just I was just curious whether if we had to go through the process, whether it would decrease the offer or keep it at the fair market value. Thank you.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. The area that is going to be creating additional storage for water further downstream, is that going to be constantly wet, dry, combination?
You know it. I mean, I'm farming.
No, it's going to... That's not going to increase. During dry weather, I guess they call it the ordinary high water mark, should be the same. The surface area might be wider because the channel's gone, but the depth of the water is going to be the same.
All right, so it'll just be sort of reeds and it'll be dry.
Well, they're going to stabilize it partly with rock.
Okay.
And they're going to have vegetation in other areas. And yeah, that will probably get
right. So is there any additional load of water up against the Amtrak such that it'll cause flooding up against the Amtrak facility or further downstream, or do you anticipate accommodating the 100-year flood event with the additional land you're obtaining?
The 100-year storm, the dynamics of the 100-year storm are not going to be any different. It's the channel improvements that the Corps is proposing, and I'm getting this secondhand from the Army Corps because they're the lead on the design and project. The design is basically, its purpose is to help flooding in the smaller range of floods. But at the 100-year level, you're not going to notice too much difference. The 100-year floodplain lines are pretty much going to be have the same configuration. There's not going to be a substantial decrease in the 100-year floodplain in this area because of this improvement.
Okay, so giving the 100-year flood event as an example, will the Amtrak facility feel any worse impact?
Well, it's again, that's a core issue. It's a design issue. My best guess to you would be no.
Okay.
Because the water level is not going to, they're not going to raise the 100-year flood elevation. So the height of water against the Amtrak infrastructure is going to be equal or less than what's happening now. And that means structurally it can't adversely impact. It can't worsen the situation. It can only improve it.
Okay, thank
that
you.
That helps you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to say what Tony was going to say. What Tony just said, I've been in several meetings prior to this one being done, this project being done, and the upper half of the project. And that's what the storage capacity is for, to lessen the impact going downstream. And that's why they need this. Councilman Powers.
Yeah, I still had a couple questions. One, in just condemnation, usually, and only from farmlands, usually whatever the offer is, the other attorney's going to come up and they're going to have theirs, and it usually meets in the middle. And I've seen it happen on a lot of farms, so that's one thing. The other thing is,
And just to answer Councilman Cardi's, there's easements for drainage all over the state. They're on my farm. And knowing being a ditch manager with dipping out a ditch, where are you going to put all this dirt?
It's good. Tennessee Army Special Services. The literature I've seen, the Denrec permit for subaqueous that the Corps applied for had a total of 30,000 cubic yards of dirt being hauled out. But if you check the Corps' website for the bid advertisement, they knock it down to 15,000. So, yeah, again, we weren't involved in the design process. We didn't have much of a say in it, but based on those two numbers, I would guess that the range of excavated material coming out of that site is somewhere between 15,000 and 30,000 cubic yards.
Okay, because, you know just as well as I do, the water level is going to stay the same.
Right.
Where you're going to gain is when you take that bank back, and that's when the level will be spread out. Over.
Yeah, and that's what they're going to do, and they're going to take it over to the Corps disposal area at the Wilmington Harbor. They have an area that's contained with a dike and a tide gate, and they're just going to fill it up here.
Because, and you know just as well, being on the conservation district, I mean, we have 80-foot right-of-ways to spread just dipping a ditch out. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is widening, and when you dig a new ditch, right, it's a lot of dirt. You take even a four to eight-foot cut, right, there's a lot of dirt to move.
We're looking at about 2 feet in those areas that I told you that they were excavating. So.
Councilwoman Packer.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not a little confused here, but if going back to the 28 lots that are affected and you're working on agreements with those people, what would make me as a property owner of one of the other lots not want you to condemn mine and give me money as opposed to giving you permission to have an easement across my land?
So your question is, if what would cause a property owner to not want to
If you're condemning three of them and you're paying them fair market value for a portion of their lot, then if I owned one of the other lots, why would I want to just work with you and give you an easement across my property without getting the same kind of compensation? Or will there be the same kind of compensation?
Mary Ann Dougherty, Special Services. Everybody who we're getting an easement from is going to get compensation. It's the fair market value of the appraisal. Everybody's been offered that. We're not taking anybody's property without offering them compensation. We only have to go to condemnation if people want more than the fair market value, or for some reason they just don't want to participate in the project.
And the total dollar amount you're anticipating for all of the lots?
For all of them, I can't speak to it. This one, we had offered a total of $13,320.12.
We haven't told that.
It depends on, each.
And if this is a core project, but we're funding. This is a core project, but we're funding the acquisition?
We are in charge. This is a core. It's a joint effort between the core, Demrec, and the county. We are contributing, I believe, $500,000. The core is contributing, federal government, about $1.5 million to the project. And I believe Demrec is contributing $500,000, too.
Okay.
Our part of the project is to get easements and other property acquisitions. So
okay.
We are pushing it to work.
Okay. And these three lots are not buildable as it stands. This does not change the designation of these lots. They're still within the floodplain?
They're still within the floodplain. They still will be in the floodplain after the fact.
But in the pictures that you showed for 80, where they're parking in the floodplain, that's permissible?
I couldn't tell you that.
It's on the upwards.
Get a lifeline?
Yeah. Culver.
Somebody from land use?
Dave?
Depending on what the use is, and I don't know if it's a grandfathered use or not, land use hasn't been involved in this process, but there would be beneficial use permits you could obtain through the Board of Adjustment for various uses within the floodplain and the floodway. But without going back and researching these properties and the history of how those issues got there, I really don't know if I can tell you whether or not there are permitted uses at this moment in time or not.
Okay. But then this does not, am I, I'm remembering this correctly, this does not change where the 100-year floodplain line is.
That's correct. And if I could just clarify, or just enhance what Mary Ann stated, this is a joint venture, and there is a division of responsibilities, and the acquisition of real estate fell on Newcastle County for the project.
To do the acquisition, to try to get the land for acquisition, but not full payment. It's divided up. That's what you just said.
Well, we are contributing, Mary Ann Dockery, we're contributing $500,000. I think our portion is part of the land acquisition. Our portion is going to go towards the fair market value. The core, the $1.5 million that they're contributing, they'll be going towards other items, the construction and those things.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
There's other items such as relocation of utilities that we may have to fund locally to accomplish this one.
Still staying within the $500,000?
Right, and within the additional $500,000 from the state.
Okay.
Councilwoman Diller has joined us. Co-Chair Tackett.
Thank you, Chairman. Piggybacking on what Councilwoman Kilpatrick said but didn't ask specifically my portion of the question, I guess I'm not understanding why are we here in the first place? I mean, it almost seems like it should be a conservation district, Denrick. I mean, why are we here? Why are we here? Why are we involved in the project? I mean, it's a stream, it's a drainage. I know we need to keep them open and free-flowing, but you're not telling us it's blocked. I mean, why is the conservation district handling this?
They are. This is a joint venture. Denrick, the conservation district, the county, locally, are all supporters of this project. And the county support of this project goes back,
very confusing.
I think Councilman Reddick can probably tell you how many years.
Right now, probably 23 years.
So it's a long-standing project.
Yes, this is the lower half of Little Mill.
So this was a long-standing county commitment, and that's why we're here.
And the other 20 years prior to the upper half getting done, it was kind of left in the hands of the Army Corps, and that's the reason why it was taking so long. The other part of it is the question that Councilman Tackett just said was, why are we here? It's because of the acquisition of our part of the project. And that is for easements and purchasing. Okay, Councilman Powers.
How many acres is total in there with all three lots? Is that about 5 or 6 acres?
5 or 6 acres?
Is it not that much?
No, I mean,
what are they?
80 Jeremy Drive total acreage is 0.71 acres, 82 is 0.64 acres, and 84 is 0.65 acres.
That even
total
acres. Of about three. And really, you're not even 100 feet where those trailers are setting, so what? It's not even a third. That could be the highest piece of property on the whole thing. It drops off. Because you got, what, 53 feet on that trailer. So there's probably not a lot of, that's probably all the space that's left there. Especially when the guy asked to fill it in so he could build it.
You're still in the floodplain.
The back part probably is the floodplain.
Just about that.
That's why I asked what the elevations were on.
And there's federal and state wetlands back there.
Right. Just about the whole area's flooded.
And that you can't build
on the executive session.
Mr. Chair?
I got you.
Okay.
Anything else, Council Powers?
No, thank you.
I'm off, Joe. Don't forget me.
I got you. Are you done?
Yeah, because I had to be in executive session.
Council Weiner?
Thanks. Someone could clarify my vague memory. When we adopted the UDC December 31st, 1997, we enhanced the protection for floodplain such that, for all practical purposes, there was no construction permitted in floodplain, and prior to that, there could be construction floodplain with approval by the county. I remember Council President Phil Cloutier and that council approving the infamous Radisson Hotel in the floodplain back in 1984. It was very contentious, and so I had that seared into my memory. Could someone clarify that for me? Because this obviously predates 1997.
David Carter, General Manager, Department of Land Use. The UDC does have prohibitions about building in the floodplain. However, there's also relief in the code where you can go through beneficial use appeals to be allowed to be in the floodplain. And normally those appeals are basically for some sort of use on the property that can also be flood-proofed. So if you do get the subdivision approval to build in within a floodplain, you still have building code issues to make sure that it's a flood-proof structure. So there has been several cases that have gone through the whole process where people have still built in the floodplain. When you get to the floodway, it's a different set of circumstances, but normally floodplain, the variances are just showing what use you can do on the property and how do you flood-proof the property. There's been several properties along Jermaine Drive that did go through that process since 1998. That's done additions and other things on the property and flood-proof the property as part of the building permits.
Thank you.
Anything else from council? Go to the public.
Chairman, members of council, Richard Abbott, I represent Don Pellicone, who's here. He's the owner of the property, and as they always say, there's two sides to every story. So that's what we're here for today. I will preface my remarks with a note that the indication by the county that $500,000 in funding is being contributed to this project by the county, that's the first time my clients ever heard that, the first time that I'm been aware of that. Of course, I just got retained yesterday, so that went right. In any event, our understanding, and Mr. Pellicone has been involved in this for a number of years, and the understanding is that the funding was coming from, and I think Mr. Schiavi even said, 65% federal, and then the local source was DENREC. The Conservation District, another adept point, as Councilman Cartier pointed out, they are involved in this. They do have flood, both DENREC and the Conservation District have authority and jurisdiction over flooding issues under the state code. The county, notably, does not. And the county, as has been alluded to, has a obligation under state code to keep streams and water courses clear and free flowing, which means that when trees fall down, you go pick them up and take them out so that there's not a flood or a beaver dam. There is another section in the code, though, that I'll just reference to you, which hasn't been followed in this situation, which might apply. Talks about improvements. This is section 12.07.001 in the county code. It talks about improvements to public water courses may be undertaken by the county. There's a public hearing process. There's a vetting process. There's a county council approval process for the project, not for the money. Sort of where they're coming to you now is saying, look, don't worry about it. We've already approved all this, and it's already a done deal. Now we just want you to approve the eminent domain authority. So I have to assume they're not proceeding under that authority because they haven't come to council before. So given that, what are we doing here? And I think that's what Councilman Tackett said. The answer to your question is very easy. The answer is that neither the Conservation District, the U.S. Army Corps, nor DENREC have eminent domain authority. So you, my friends, are being used as a Trojan horse. You are being used, that's why the county probably is appointed with the acquisition authority for these easements. Because purportedly, on its face, section 1525 of Title IX may give the county eminent domain authority here. The problem is, as Mr. Schiavi adeptly avoided using the term deepening the channel, which is also included, which he described, as thus the 15,000 cubic or 30,000 cubic yard removal, there is no authority to the county for deepening channels. There is no authority to the county for flooding projects. It's widening, straightening, altering only. And I would suggest to you that that's consistent with the county code provisions saying you need to clear and keep water courses free flowing, because obviously that could include the need to straighten out a curve in a stream, etc. So The county has some limited eminent domain authority. I would suggest to you it doesn't go as broad as they are attempting to use in this instance, and that you should at least table this for further evaluation and research, because, again, I think the county's just being used as the stalking horse here, because the other three agencies involved in the process do not have eminent domain power. The other problems in this specific instance, there, you described a permanent easement which is being taken. In Delaware, when you effect a partial taking, the law requires that you do an appraisal based on the before and after value, so that you then incorporate and capture any damages to the remaining land. So there'll be an easement imposed. My client, to the extent that there's going to be any damage to the remainder of his property in terms of development potential, et cetera, he needs to get compensated not just for the square footage value of the easement area, but for any diminution in value to the other portion of the property. The other thing is, that was carefully avoided, the 30-foot wide drainage easement. Oh, we're not going to pay him for that because it's already there. Well, as far as I can tell, and I haven't done the full research, I don't think there's a document, there's a plan that says drainage easement on it. That doesn't mean you get to use it to dig a channel. That means that you get to run water onto it, or maybe put a pipe underneath the ground for drainage purposes, or a catch basin, or those sorts of drainage, stormwater runoff purposes. Not to do a flood control project that's essentially being driven by the federal and the state governments. So my client, we believe, is having a 30-foot easement taken for a different purpose, because he still owns the underlying fee simple title. They're not paying him, they're not offering him, nor have they negotiated with him regarding any compensation for that additional taking that's being affected by this. And there's an act in Delaware, I won't go into all the details, Title 29, Chapter 95 of the Delaware Code, the Real Property Acquisition Act, that requires a good faith estimate of just compensation, offer, and negotiations based on that. And that has yet to happen in this instance. So we would suggest it is premature to proceed to eminent domain or condemnation at this time for those reasons. Because what ends up happening is then I file a motion to dismiss the case. If the court awards it, then the county ends up paying my attorney's fees. So I'm kind of busy right now. So I'll take the work, but I think it's better in terms of prudence fiscally to avoid that. So my client finally is willing to donate the easements. What he said is, this is all this kumbaya, happy, joint effort project. Well, let's include me into the project. Why don't you guys work with me? We sit down, we try and figure out a way that people could support my development of my properties through a beneficial use. There's no guarantee you're going to get it. The independent board of adjustment has to grant it. But certainly, if the governmental officials involved can come up with something that's satisfactory, then my client can win, the county can win, the other agencies can win, and the flood control issues can win. My last final point, because I guess I'm a little puzzled by it, this is just sort of by way of why are they doing the project, so maybe I don't understand the engineering, but Mr. Schiavi said we're not going to reduce the breadth of the 100-year floodplain. So if I do a cost-benefit, I say, okay, my benefit is nothing. My cost is millions of dollars. What do you do in a project that doesn't accomplish anything for it? I don't know. Maybe I missed something there about downstream, but as far as I know, it's not very far from there past Amtrak before it hits the Christina. So I'm not sure who's downstream. So then Christina, of course, goes all the way through the city out into the Delaware River. So I'm not sure who's benefiting from this. But anyway, that's just a side issue. My main point is it's much too soon to be proceeding to condemnation under the circumstances, I think, as we've described them. So we would respectfully request that you table this and ask for further evaluation. Thank you.
Well, there's a few points that Mr. Abbott said that I'd like to point out myself. About the homeowners or the property owners not knowing. The notices went out to the property owners several times. And I myself went down there to notify them and couldn't get a hold of a few people. So we had several meetings at Ellesmere Town Hall
on the upper half and the lower half of the project. And with that, this project, the whole project, the upper and the lower half, has been in our capital budget and voted on every year. So the money's there. The monies that was appropriated for this was there. The notification was there to the public. And the other point I'd like to make out is the property is still in the floodplain, all three properties. So Councilman Powers pointed out how much in one of the, I believe it was one of the pictures with the draw with the trailers on it, how much can you put on there? It's in the floodplain, how much can you do? As far as the notification goes, I was there at the meeting, and I believe Mr. Pelican was at one of the meetings in Ellsbury Town Hall and was notified right then and there on the upper and the lower half project, because there was a few people there, almost as many as in this room, and they were all property owners. Anything else from the public?
I'd just like to discuss one point.
Tony Scavi.
As to the question regarding how beneficial from a hydraulic standpoint the project's going to be, the Corps of Engineers designed it. The Corps of Engineers has to apply for a letter of map revision as a result of this project. There we will know what the delta is in the 100-year floodplain area. Everything up until now is hearsay, and the point that I tried to make is the project will improve the flow characteristics through the channel. It will make a difference in the smaller storms, as providing the ability to lessen the frequency of flooding. And I think the answer to the higher storms close to the 100-year, the true answer will lie in the configuration of the floodplain pre and post. And I'm not sure what that's going to be. The Corps of Engineers is handling getting that permit, and they have access to all the hydraulic and hydrologic data in connection with this project.
Mary?
Mary Ann Dougherty, Special Services. I really don't know where to start to address all your points, but the county does have authority under 9 Delaware Code 1525 to do this project. We do have eminent domain authority to widen, this creek, and it specifically calls out Little Mill Creek. So I feel like we're on firm footing with that. And we follow the Real Property Acquisition Act. We haven't done anything to, bypass any of those steps. We notified Mr. Pelicone on, the whole process. In fact, Mr. Pelicone was asked several times to accompany the county's appraiser out and look at the property with him, and he wouldn't return the calls. He didn't want them on his property. So to act like we haven't worked with Mr. Pelicone is simply not the case. And as Tony said, this will benefit the property owners surrounding Germain Drive, Maryland Avenue, in the smaller floods, which, we even talked to some of them that have had their businesses flooded out. To say that it won't, why are we doing this? It's to benefit
Mr. Pelican.
I'm Donald Pelicone. I own 2 acres of property on Germain Drive. I bought it in 2008. And you're right, Mr. Renaud, I have been at every one of the meetings in Ellesmere for this project. I want to state for the record that I'm for this project. I think it's a good thing to try and stop the flooding. I don't think this project's going to do that. You have the railroad trestle, the Amtrak trestle that has to discharge all of this water. It doesn't have the capacity now. When you increase capacity in the stream and make it worse, it just makes the problem worse. For the record, Mary Ann, I never asked Army Corps of Engineers to fill my property. I'll fill it myself. But I said to everybody for compensation for my easements, I wanted the permits. This is floodplain. You cannot disturb the floodplain in any way, shape, or form unless you get the permits. I found out. I bought the property. Wasn't disclosed to me that it was in the floodplain. And a month later, I had John Geisling standing in front of me saying, you have to bring all this stuff back. You can see from the pictures, I didn't bring it back. Didn't have to bring it back. I got the proper permits, went through land use, went through DENREC, went through Army Corps of Engineers and FEMA to get the permits to leave the fill that was on my property that I disturbed. What I'm asking for in this project, you need permits and variances from land use to disturb the floodplain. Why can't you make me part of the project and give the permits to me also so I can fill my property? I spoke with Brian Mulvaney. I didn't speak with him. Doug Suter called me about a year ago. Said he's been involved in this project for 18 years. That name may be familiar to you. He's a neighbor of mine. He spoke with Brian Mulvaney, the Army Corps of Engineers representative. Their attitude is they don't want me to fill my property to develop it. They want my property left vacant so they can flood it during these storms. Now, my position is if eminent domain is for the community, and I am the community, what are we talking about here? You know, this doesn't make any sense to me. I said to Kevin Donnelly in June, I've been talking about this for 4 years about these permits. Come walk my property. I'll offer my property for staging for the engineer, the contractors to get in. Easy access to the rear of the property. No answer. I took them to the back of my property. I have 2 acres here, undeveloped property. You're going to got 30,000 cubic yards of fill to remove. That's 1,500 truckloads. Think of what that costs. That's $150,000 at $100 a truckload just to haul it away. And their proposed study from 1995, which Brian Mulvaney gave to me, states at $14.95 a ton to dispose of this fill. That's $560,000. Why haul it away? I'll make it easy for you. Give me the permits, dump the fill on my property. I don't want my property flooded. That doesn't solve the problem for me, but if it solves the problem for everybody else, I'm supposed to be okay with that. I'm not okay with that. You know, this is not fair, doesn't make any sense. And I think it all started back in land use when I did a Freedom of Information Act study. Before I bought my property, they said there were no issues. Their engineers and their people didn't find the floodplain issue. I got 3 deeds, free and clear, and I can't use it because of floodplain? That doesn't make any sense. I'm here to say I'm willing to offer my property to help this project move along, to do it correctly. You have that railroad trellis that won't discharge enough water. I don't want the water on my property for overflow. That's not fair.
Wait a minute. Anything else in the public? Councilman Weiner?
Thank you. I have to tell you that it's not clear to me, but I just had some questions, and maybe there should be some research on Title IX's authority to both widen and deepen, because I think I heard that from the attorney for the applicant, that deepen is not included, but widening is. So I just want to understand that. I'd be happy to hear the opinion of either council on that. The other thing that I'm not, amongst others, is the fact that Mr. Pellicone's presentation is very compelling, but what I didn't understand is that that he purchased it with without knowledge that it was in the floodplain. And of course, when you buy real estate, you have a duty to purchase whether you know or should know of its conditions. But then he said he was told later, was that a subsequent study? Did they change the determination whether it was in the floodplain or not? That those sorts of issues, I think, would be compelling to a court. Whether or not it's relevant to us, I don't know. We need to seek, maybe counsel to counsel's not here as well, but I'd be happy to hear from both attorneys on both of those issues.
Councilwoman?
I guess part of my concern would be that if we're paying him for a portion of his property, but we are actually going to use all of the property as a retention basin, is what I'm hearing, then why are we not including all of that property in the acquisition?
We'll let the counselor answer.
Tony can chime in on this too. We're not using all of it as a retention basin. It's already in the floodplain, and I mean, our project isn't going to. We're only using the permanent drainage easement. That's the only part that we're going to retain. We aren't taking over his property with this project, flooding it, you know, and not compensating him for that. And Tony, if you have any.
Yeah, I just want to clarify one thing. I hope the computer this is a profile here, and it is, again, I said the red line, I don't know if you guys, if you can see it very well back there, but the red line there that's kind of jaggedy, it looks like a mountain range, that's the existing channel bottom at the lower portion of the project. And that heavy black line that's kind of straight, it's angled downward, that's the new channel bottom. So we are deepening this project, or deepening the channel. And I just want to add one point, you know, after hearing Mr. Pellicone talk, we did meet with Mr. Pellicone, and we heard his concerns, and I had some, and I don't know if he's probably not aware of this, but I did forward his concerns to the Army Corps of Engineers and posed the question whether it would have been possible to fill on his property and include that as part of the project, where the project, although it's still required to get a floodplain permit, and that its purpose is allowed under the remedial provisions of the code, we would still satisfy the no net fill requirement by even by excavating a lot out of the area and putting more into his property to raise it up. But I think the consensus was, and I posed the question to the Corps, but they rejected that because they felt that the filling of that area would defeat the purpose of the project. Again, if you look at it, this lower section here, it's very critical that we maintain or create as much storage as we possibly can and not fill in that area. And I think that was the reason why they did it. That was one reason. The other reason is it's pretty far along in the project, and this would result in a design change, and I'm not sure what the funding is on the design side of it, because again, I'm not privy to that. We did at least look into that for you, and we did forward your concern, his concerns, to the Corps of Engineers, so we weren't oblique to his plight.
Mary Ann Dougherty, again, and I mean, 9 Delaware Code Section 1525 gives us the power to use the eminent domain to alter the course of any creek. So, I mean, you're really picking out words when you're saying deepening, alter. You could argue that's the same thing. So, and I just want to make you aware that the federal fiscal year does end on September 30th, so there is the possibility that the federal government can pull funding for this project if all the property acquisitions aren't done by then. So I just want to make you aware of that.
Excuse me, the other question?
Wait a minute. I got something in my head here.
No, this was a question I posed previously. I haven't heard an answer to it. I'd like to have an answer.
Wait a minute, Mr. Wine.
I posed two questions. We went ahead without an answer.
Councilman Powers asked for a question.
Yeah, but no, I asked for a question before. I'd like to get my two questions answered. Mr. Powers, would you let me get the answer to my questions? Thank you, Mr. Chair. You answered the one question. I'd be happy to hear from the other council. The other question I asked is whether or not, under the duty when you purchased real estate, you knew or should have known of its conditions, including flooding. And I'd be happy to hear from councilman for the applicant, too. What is your position on what Mr. Pellicone had to say? Because it was unclear to me and maybe to other council members whether or not there was some redefining of the floodplain after he purchased it.
Mary Ann Dougherty again. I believe when he purchased it, it was in the floodplain. It was 2008, I think, he purchased his property. So they were in the floodplain, it's my understanding, when he purchased them. And I don't know why. You know, I don't know what happened, who he hired to look into this purchase or whatnot, that they didn't flag that. And I do feel sorry for him. I wish I could help him more, but there's really nothing I can do about that. I mean, when he purchased them in 2008, they were part of the floodplain. They didn't become part of the floodplain after his purchase, so.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Now I have answers on both of my questions.
Councilman Powers?
Yeah, that was one of my questions. When did he purchase it? But it makes sense, and it's kind of going with Gina to say, too. They have engineered it that that's part of the area to handle the water. Because it's probably pretty close to grade. I mean, I don't know what, like I said, we don't have any elevations on anything on this. I've never seen the property. But just knowing how a stream works, it's usually a flat spot down there, and that, you know, naturally lets the water spread out over an area. But, you know, a lot of that, I almost think a lot of that whole area was probably filled at one time when they were allowed to fill it, and it narrowed the channel down, then you end up having the problem you got now.
I'd just like to respond to that, Attorney Schiavi, Special Services. Again, if you look at this point here, this is the start of the channel deepening part of the project right here.
Actually, I think the question on the deepening.
You start it right here, and then if you look at that profile, this is the start point, and it's very flat. There is a slight slope to it, but it is very flat. And this is the Amtrak right away here. But you can see, looking at the squares, it does fall elevation-wise.
The black line is the Amtrak.
The black line is the center of the channel. This is.
I understand, but the line going straight up and down.
That's the right-of-way line for Amtrak.
And this, the other drop would be on the other side of the track?
I have trouble reading that screen. Yeah, it's the
so they're
the right-of-way line, and it does show a drop-off in grade.
I mean, are they deepening, or that is where the grade is right now on that side?
Yeah, that's where the grade is right now.
Because that was the question now. Where the railroad is, the tracks.
Yeah, this could be
is
the
that, is that going to bring it down to the bottom of their, whatever they have, a trestle, or I don't know what type of bridge, or is it stone?
It's stone, and I think it does run right along.
They're archway, but I mean, a lot of, I mean, that could have sealed it in over the years.
It has. I
don't know the area. I'm just going by other problems.
And I think DelDOT may be doing something in that vicinity. Although it's very tough to get a permit from Amtrak to even remove the silt underneath that archway, because they're worried about passive soil pressure
underneath the station.
And they're very sensitive about the structural integrity or condition of where.
Where's Mr. Pelican's property on there on the bridge?
It's probably right around here.
It's right before you get the torch.
Okay, so but it goes higher. The channel gets higher right through there.
The center line of the channel is higher.
I mean, you're going to dig.
You're going to deepen. Yeah.
It's going to deepen.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying right now you got a ponding just before his property, then it's kind of flowing over. Really, if it does really go to where that culvert drops, it may drop everything down through there until it floods. It may help his property.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just want to point out while I'm standing up here is that the Corps of Engineers is responsible for the design. They're responsible for the engineering studies, and they're responsible for getting all the necessary permits for the work. So the Corps of Engineers is authorized to do that. They're authorized to do this work. And they've got all the permits that they need to get, except for the floodplain, and they're working on that.
Thank you.
Councilwoman.
Thank you. I have a problem with this because there seems to be so many unknowns. When you talk about they want to keep as much storage on that end as possible, indicates to me that the plan is to use that property as basically an overflow storage retention area. If we're not doing anything under the Amtrak bridge, that itself, I would think if you're deepening the channel here and you're not doing anything under the Amtrak bridge, underwater, that's a dam.
Well, it'd probably wash it out if you got it going.
And the fact that you can't say, I mean, I guess there has to be models someplace where they can say if the actual floodplain is going to change. I don't know why they apply for a LOMAR if they don't think it's going to change.
They could be required as part of the permit process. Again, they could make the argument that we didn't change the floodplain line and therefore we don't need to submit a LOMAR. But they'll have to make that statement.
But they have to prove it. Right. I mean, they have to do all of the studies just as you do if you think that something should be changed.
Right. And they designed this. I didn't design this. If I designed this and I stamped it with my seal, there's no way in the world that I would design a project that would increase the flooding on the downstream properties that you suggested. Me personally, if I had to sign a seal.
But we have an increase.
Councilman Cardia,
yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just going back to looking at all the different easements that are on these properties. What is the legal basis for the existing permanent drainage easements? Where do they originate from that are there on these properties?
Tony Schiavi, Special Services. The existing permanent easement that you see on some of those, particularly down in this section of the project, was established by a record plan for the Germain Industrial Park. And that's the basis for the
easement. Part of the record plan for the original park.
That's right. And I was trying to think of the year, and I think it was 1973.
That is to allow the county to go on those properties to remove debris from the creek? Is that really why they're there?
And to reconstruct. It's generally referred to. There's no conditions on it.
Okay. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'm like a couple other council members here that it's a little troubling to me to move forward with this at this point in time. I don't know what it would do to put this on the table for a couple more weeks. I agree there's too many unknowns here. I don't question or challenge the engineering by the Army Corps, but I think there's a legal issue that has been raised that gives me a reason to pause here. I think condemnation is very serious business, but eminent domain is very serious business, and we have someone here who's a landowner who's not agreeing with this proposal based upon the fact that he owns this land and it could be some damage to his property that would cost him maybe financial harm or other harm. And I just think to move forward for me without having further information would be very difficult. I just don't see ignoring all the information that's floating around about who's responsible for what. Army Corps has this authority, the state has that authority, the county has some other piece of it, which to me is the most critical part of this overall plan. That is to acquire the property and to have to use condemnation to do that. Cause pause for me. So I just have to be very honest with council members here that going forward tonight with this is something I just can't go forward with my support unless there's some better clarity on what's going on.
You couldn't get a hold.
Wayne Mark.
Wayne Merritt, Acting General Manager, Special Services. I'm not an engineer. And something tells me that if they're talking about taking 15,000 to 30,000 cubic yards of soil out of there, then that's where water would go. So somehow or another, that's got to have some effect on the floodplain. I can't tell you what it is, but maybe I'm wrong on that one.
I would agree.
Number one. Number two, this is an easement. We're not trying to take anybody's property. That's the kid. From a legal perspective, you know, I'll defer to our attorney or the attorneys as to the specifics on that. I'm sure there's a reasonable answer, and we'll get it. You know, if it's something that the council as a whole has a problem with today, we've got 2 weeks before the council meets again. So, you know, hopefully we can clear some of that time period. But my thoughts for the day.
Council President?
Thank you. Again, in light of a lot of the concerns that were expressed, I mean, obviously we had to weigh acting tonight versus not acting. I think what I heard in some of the presentation was that there's a lot of these other easements that still, to date, have not been lined up. Is that correct?
There's a few that we're still negotiating with, and many of them show promise. There might be a couple where we may be in a similar situation.
I mean, again, not that delay really necessarily solves anything, does let us get additional information, but if we did delay on authorizing this condemnation, some of the other properties may or may not catch up to where this one is, and we can, again, it doesn't seem that there will be an imminent harm in delaying this to let us get some of the answers to the questions that we were asking. I mean, is that fair to say?
It's fair to say.
Okay.
Council President, our Council one.
Oh, I got two jobs.
your resignation on not that you wanted, right?
I have to agree. I mean, I don't see how this, and I may be wrong, I don't see how this project goes ahead until you have all of the easements in place. If they're not all there, I mean, I worked with the Conservation District long enough to know that if they're not all there, they're not going to go ahead, because you don't get to a certain point and then have a gap before you can go on. So this little mill has been going on for 25 years. I can't imagine that 2 weeks to get some answers is going to make... What's another 10 years after all of this? Yeah.
Councilman Sheldon.
And it all ended. Can we still, if we did table this till next special services meeting, which is next week?
Next week.
We could do it in 2 weeks.
Two, couple weeks, yeah.
Okay.
And then we come up.
Can you still work on the other properties? Because you said September 30th is a drop dead date. We have to get this passed.
Well, we are working on all the other properties, trying and work with the property owners to sign easements. So, I don't know, September 30th is the date where the fiscal year ends, so they could potentially pull the funding after that.
We don't want that, but the question is, can you still keep working on it?
I'm still going to work on it, I'm not going to stop.
Because you're not done yet anyway.
No.
I mean, we could pass this and maybe not run into problems.
I guess the problem is that, the condemnation to file it and get an order of possession takes a little bit of time, so we may be outside that window, but...
Council President.
Very quickly, when we get some of these questions answered, can this 30 feet additional condemnation, whether that's required or not, can we get a response to that, whether that additional 30 feet is required or not, that we already have an existing drainage easement on? I'd appreciate that.
Could you clarify that?
There was a suggestion that when taking into account the amount of property that you had to buy the easement on, that property 80, was it 80?
50, there are three parcels.
Lot 50.
Yeah, there's that additional 50 feet there, the existing easement, whether that they have to compensate the property owner for that or not. There is some contention that wasn't being compensated from them, and you do have to compensate for that additional 30 feet. Just if you could answer that before.
Okay. It was our belief, and we were working with the Corps of Engineers Real Estate Group, that we did not have to purchase that easement because it already exists.
But we'll clarify that.
We'll clarify that.
Thank you.
And I just want to clarify one other thing. The scheduled bid date is September 7th, and the Corps has made it clear that the project funding will be in jeopardy if we don't have the real estate either secured or have in a condemnation process by that date.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, just so I just want to, I haven't said a word, so I just want to make everybody aware that I was paying attention. Mr. Pelican, I think part of my confusion over there, you guys have to work out. Your attorney said, you're willing to donate the thing, just work with you and give you an opportunity to get the permits, the variances, whatever it is that you need. Understand there's no guarantee. You stood up and your comments pretty much were you're willing to donate, but you want the permits, you want the variances. You need to figure out whether you're willing to roll the dice or you want double sixes, you know, seven, whatever you want. I'm just saying, your attorney said one thing that made it sound like you were willing to cooperate and take a chance. You weren't taking a chance. And the county can't give variances. That's the Board of Adjustment, and they have more authority than land use does. So that's something you guys got to get together and work out before it comes back. So,
Councilman Holmes.
Just a point about the federal government's fiscal year, this whole September date. They may or may not, and I think Tony sort of partially answered my concern here, and I think that's correct. They may or they may not, but we still have to do due diligence here and what's right. We just can't go forward and take that responsibility on because the Army Corps is not going to pay any legal fees that this county may incur. So even if we were to go forward, as Councilwoman has mentioned, Kilpatrick, you still don't have the other parcels that are still in limbo. So in either way, you still may not satisfy that requirement if they put that kind of a stringent requirement on us that you got to guarantee that you have all these easements. Well, we may or may not. So I just can't see that being the trigger for us to be like, let's just do this right now because they're, you know, their fiscal year is going to end and they may not fund this next year. But they had, you know, we, as someone mentioned, spent 20 whatever number of years. So I'd rather us to do the right thing as opposed to hurrying up to meet some artificial deadline out there and make a huge mistake.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I wanted to understand the application of the valuation of the parcel that's being condemned. Obviously, there is one price you look at when you just look at the real estate being purchased. There's another factor called the diminution, I'm saying that wrong, of what's left over. If I could ask legal counsel to opine on that. Or which standard are we using? Are we taking a look at the diminution of value, the diminishing of value of Mr. Pelicone's property that's left over? How does that get factored in by the court?
Well, I mean, Mary Ann Doherty, the appraisal assumes that at the end of the project, there won't be any damage to the property. The property isn't, I don't believe, I have to go back and look at it again, but there's no assumption that the property is going to be diminished in value because of the project. So that is not taken into account as far as, I have read the appraisals, but it's been a few weeks, so I could certainly get back to you on that.
In other words, there's a, you know, and I guess a subset of that is it still usable property?
Yes, yes, yeah. There's no, it's not supposed to have, be damaged by the project at all. So.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, we are extending this a little more than we need to. We got to go into executive session. I thought we do.
Do we have
executive session?
Executive committee.
So we're going to take one more question on this, if anybody needs it, and then we're going to continue on with the council.
Can I have the next question?
Go ahead.
Can we go to the next thing?
There you go.
All right. Since we
finished with the fast one,
I got a question on that question.
And it's going to be, and the two sponsors on it said that they were going to table it. So let's go with this. All right, we're going to go from the top. 12-118 is a resolution, my sponsorship. It has to do with the renaming of Woodfield to Limestone Terrace Apartments. Any questions on that?
Is it close to Limestone Road?
Is it close to Limestone Road?
Sorry.
Is it near the water?
I knew that was coming.
Just Limestone Road.
That's so evil.
Resolution 12-121.
Me?
Take it off.
Thanks. This is a project that's been before you several times. It's Traditions at Pike Creek. It was rezoned from S to ST in 2007. It was for 64 townhouses that were supposed to be condominium units. This was under the strict conformity rules. They've since come back to this council saying that they were going to take these townhouses from 30 feet wide to 24 feet wide. and that would allow them to add 12 more units without changing the use of the square footage of the land that they would be using. And that was approved. This is now a by right plan. It's had some issues in the beginning, all that were worked out with the community, had an entrance on Paper Mill Road that the community didn't like. The developer subsequently bought land on Limestone Road, created an entrance, dedicated it to public use. It goes along with the Summit at Hokesson, which was formerly Vantage Point, the senior the assisted living that we saw a couple of, I guess, 2 months or so. This will now not be condominiums. It will be fee simple lots because of some of the banking issues with condominiums and the ability to get mortgages. They are here now for their final approval, and Sean Tucker is here if anybody wants a presentation. He's more than willing to.
Mr. Tucker's give it, here. Or does anybody have any questions on it?
Good.
Okay, no questions. We'll move on.
No floodplain issues.
Okay, we got the resolution 12-125. It's Councilman Smiley. It's out in Newcastle Town Center.
Yeah, this was previous. This has been before council before. We've worked it through. It was previously a borrow pit off 273 and 13, though it hasn't had floodplain issues. It's been delayed a year because we had airplane issues dealing with the FAA. So we went from one end to the other. So that's what it's back for. The project is hopefully now moving forward. Commercial Shopping Center, and turn it over to the developer if he has it. If there's any questions.
Any questions from council?
No.
You guys need to say anything? You want to get up? Are you okay?
We can. It's up to you. You obviously went pretty long on the first one, so.
We're good. Fine, got votes.
We're good on this side.
Yeah, we're good on this side.
Can I just get a quick explanation from sponsoring councilman on the FAA issue that was resolved?
It had to do with they want to extend their runway. There's a piece of road that we were vacating. We were in with land use and a partnership, and the FAA had to advertise it and allow for comment. And unfortunately, it took 10 months to get them to advertise it. We ended up. I'm not going to get into who all we had to get involved in, just right. Getting them to put it out there for something that basically has been in the airport plans. He's gone now, so way back to when Mr. Boyle worked for him. So that's what it was. It wasn't there was an issue with the project. It was an issue with a piece of property. Then part of their long range plans extend the runway, and they basically had to advertise what was going on, and it took that long to get them to do it. That's all.
And the plan's the same plan, otherwise?
Yes, same plan.
Okay. No questions on
that. Anything else from council? You okay? All right, going to other. Anything on the other? Public comment?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Let's get out of here.
I'm an attorney.
We're back.
Come back in 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
4.5 minutes. 15 minutes ago.
15 minutes ago. Works out well. Yeah.